Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. So everything starts out with God being the benefactor of His creation, particularly of all mankind. So God is the author, the trustor, the maker, the owner, the one that governs, the one who judges, the one who rules, is everything. So God is good. God is good. God is good. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Well, who's He good to? Us. And then it says, here's why He's good. This is the only reason He's good. Because His mercy endures forever. There's the goodness of God right there. It isn't that God is good, it's that His mercy endureth forever. Could you name another God like our God who is merciful? If God is merciful, who am I? If God is merciful, and that's His goodness, who am I? Why is it good for God to be merciful? I'm not always merciful to people that are not what I want them to be. So why is God merciful to me? I'm not always. I'm not good then. Because God is good, for His mercy endureth forever. What is it that makes God good? Why is mercy so important? And that word in the Hebrew is chesed. C-H-E-S-E-D. Chesed. Chesed. So God's loving kindness is always toward us. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Now you enter His gates with thanksgiving. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Why? Because His mercy endureth forever. Then who am I? If God is merciful, who am I? If that's the goodness of God, who am I? Who will you be merciful to? Huh? Someone that needs mercy, which is called sinner. This is still Psalm 118, verse 1. Psalm 118, verse 1. If God is merciful, He's not merciful to the righteous. He wouldn't need His mercy. It would have to be His goodness is that He loves sinners. He's merciful to sinners. He's lovingly kind to sinners. That doesn't make any sense at all. That is amazing that God would love a sinner. That's somebody who turns against God, someone who defies God, someone who rebels against God, someone who's selfish and not good, a not good person. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. That's amazing. There's no religion like this. There isn't any religion like this one. This one is amazing. That God would be merciful to not righteous people. If you're ungodly, then God is kind. You have to be ungodly. So how many of you have worked hard at being ungodly, rebellious, wicked, sinful. Well, you apparently don't have to work very hard. It just kind of comes naturally. Well, it doesn't come naturally. It comes by a choice. In other words, you've chosen. It isn't like you're made that way. He actually made you in his image and likeness to be good. But, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And he wants you to be good. But he is good and you're not good. For his mercy endureth forever. Wow. So without the mercy of God, he wouldn't be good. Why? Because we're sinners. So sinners deserve death. The wages of sin is death. So I should be dead down here, number five. I should be dead under the trust system. I should be dead. I'm not just a child of his. I'm a wicked, rebellious, ungodly, antichrist person. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. To me, this is a mind blower. I can't imagine Allah being merciful to an infidel who refuses to repent. I just can't imagine. How would that be? I can't imagine in the Hindu system, if I wasn't a Brahmin at the top of the heap, I couldn't imagine that God would be merciful to me if I despised the untouchable at the bottom, even my shadow. Shouldn't fall on him, or he'll have to die. If my shadow just falls on him, he needs to get so far away from me as I hate and despise him. Man, he doesn't like sinners for sure. Those untouchables are untouchable. You can't touch them. You don't even get near them. Don't even let him come into your sight. When the Brahmin comes, he has to fall on his face, get on the ground, make sure that he's far, far away from the highly exalted Brahman. All other religions don't like sinners. Ours is the only religion in the world where God's goodness is that he forgives sinners that hate him and kill his son and grieve his Holy Spirit. That is the weirdest religion in the whole world. I can't imagine a religion like that succeeding. How could a religion succeed that says someone who's hateful and nasty, forgive them and love them? That religion is not going to sell. That religion is not going to get anywhere. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Good for what? Good to sinners who hate him and despise him and abuse him and turn away from him and rebel from him, who hate everything about him. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He'll forgive a sinner who deliberately, consciously, knowingly sinned against him. Some say, well, it was by accident. I didn't know. Oh, I didn't know I did that. No, our God loves people that knowingly turn against him. Is that not wacky, crazy? That's foolish. That doesn't make any sense. God is holy. And he's righteous. And he's good. And he's true. And he's merciful. And he's powerful. Who can stop him? Who can get away with murder with God? Man, if he gets that law thing going on you, you're finished. Because he says, be holy as I'm holy. Do you remember that? Number two. Be holy as I am. Holy as God. He's a holy God. Well, how can he then get along with people that hate him and kill him and turn against him and rebel against him? It's the most amazing religion. So what I'm teaching doesn't make any sense at all. What, does God love immoral people? evil people? I thought he was against evil. I thought he hated wickedness. Do we not have a weird God? He is so weird. I don't think I can understand him. I can't understand him. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Okay, I can see if you're a sinner. He's given you a second chance, but you better not muff it this second time. You better pay close attention this second time. How many sometimes you made a sin, said you were sorry, and then you repeated it? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. How long does it last? Forever. That's amazing. So you can see now the goodness of God is actually his mercy to a sinner. What other God is like that? Tell me another God. Tell me one God on the earth that has ever not wanted to punish and hate sinners and chop their head off. Just tell me one other God like that. The Catholics tried to convert the Jews. The Jews tried to convert the pagan. Show them the right way. But here we have a God whose goodness lies in the fact that he's merciful to sinners that hate him. Does it make any sense? So, if I were a God, I would have killed Adam and Eve right after they sinned. He said the day they did it, he would, but he didn't do it. He's let the world go on for 6,000 years since that day, and it's still doing bad. The people still don't love him. Even his own church doesn't love him. It's lukewarm. It's only so-so. How could God be merciful? Oh, give thanks to the Lord. This is the basis of all worship. Give thanks to the Lord. Who? A wicked sinner. A sinner who did everything God said not to do and did nothing that God said to do. I did everything God said not to do, and I didn't do anything that he said to do. I never loved him. I hated him. I was selfish as all get out. I had other gods before him. I took his name in vain. I did everything he said not to do. And he said, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Wow, that's a new definition of good. I thought good loved what was good, not what was evil. How can God love someone who's not even trying or is even downright lying to God, saying I'm good when they're not? No, I went to Mass today. I lit a candle. I gave some money, bought an icon. I kissed the icon. I gave the priest some money. How can that work? I don't think religion makes any sense. This religion doesn't make any sense at all. Now you can see how the other nations round about believed that the Pharaoh should reward people that obeyed him and did what he said. One guy said, here, Pharaoh, I have cut off the hands of 10 of your enemies. Here they are. And he gave him a collar of gold. That makes sense. He did what the Pharaoh wanted, killed 10 of his enemies. Well, thank God. Here are 10 sets of hands. That's amazing. That makes sense. That religion makes sense. Here's a guy that hates my enemies and gave me 10 hands, 10 sets of hands. I love that. Here, I killed all of your enemies. I killed 10 of them. Here are their hands, 20 of them. Count them up. Whoa, give that man a reward. That man should rise up in the pyramid just close to me. Put him closer to me. That is a good man. Every religion in the world makes sense except ours. Ours is the only one that says, no, that's not good. Well, that guy is not good. He killed the enemies of God. That's good. No, our religion doesn't agree with that. Our religion says be merciful to sinners. They hate you. They're your enemies. You all see how the Muslims today are chopping the heads off? The ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Boko Haram, etc., etc., etc. I can see they're good people. They're doing what their God wants. Either convert and be a Muslim or die. That's a good thing. That makes sense. Either convert and go with the truth or get out of this world entirely. You're an infidel. He's given you a chance. That's a good thing. He gives you several minutes to think it over. Think it over. What do you think? We're going to beat you for a while and then see how you're feeling after that. And then finally, we're just going to have to chop your head off. Our religion doesn't make any sense. How would God love sinful people? Aren't we supposed to hate the wicked? Aren't we supposed to hate those that are no good? I think a lot of parents hate the child that doesn't obey them. They hate them. You wretched, ungrateful child. You have not done what your father wanted of you. You have turned against your mother's instruction. You have to die. I have to cut you off. And I'm sorry, but you're not even repentant. You don't even feel bad. I mean, that makes sense. Discipline that child. Punish that child. Beat that child. That's good religion. Not ours. Not the one in the Bible. It talks about the correct Jewish person. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Here's a God who, after winning the battle, wants to show mercy to all his enemies. That doesn't make any sense. You can't just let them go free. They broke the law. They did everything wrong. They didn't have a good heart. Their heart was vile, filthy. They were meditating evil against God's throne, against God's kingdom, against God's purposes, against God's plan, against God's people. How can you let them go? Kill them in the name of Allah, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jehovah, you know, in the name of Buddha, you know, whatever. You got to kill people like that. How many know there's something wrong with one of those religions? The one that says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. I say our religion is the correct religion because it fits real people, not imaginary people. Real people who actually do sin. Actually do sin deliberately, consciously, knowingly. Now, many a parent has disciplined the child and then the children turn on them. I disciplined you. I tried to give you good teaching. Do this, don't do that. And the child is so ungrateful. What should you do with such a child? Stone him. Stone her. Cut her off. Even the Jews stoned people that did that kind of thing. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. I don't know if you see how powerful this idea is. It goes against every culture. All civilization. In civilization, what is civilization except the strong man beating up the weak man? The good guy crushing the bad guy. How else can you have civilization? If one man's ox gores another man's ox, then give him the ox. The one that you gored his ox, give your ox to him. And you know, you got to recompense him. You lose your ox because he gored your ox. That makes sense. That totally makes sense. But our Bible says the opposite. Our Bible says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, For his mercy, number three, endureth forever. You mean everybody that broke number two can be set free at number three? What kind of a God would that be? He wants unrighteous people. Now, anyone here, have you sinned two times? Maybe even repeating the same sin twice in one day? Well, then, this is your religion. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let's read the next verse, see if this gets any better. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Wow. I tell you, maybe that it fits the Jewish people, because let Israel now say his mercy endureth forever. Why? Because they're sinners. They didn't keep all the commandments. That's why. They need mercy. But let's say they despise the mercy and kill the lamb. Well, that wouldn't be right. They killed God's lamb. They killed it. And that was the mercy right there, the blood. The mercy of the blood of the lamb died for their sins, and they went ahead and killed the boy. They killed that Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And still, let the house of Israel say, God's merciful. Be merciful to sinners. That's amazing. Let the house of Israel now say, his mercy endureth forever. How many know that forever is still going on? We haven't yet gotten to the end of forever. Today, people are still sinning, but there's still mercy for Israel. So let the house of Israel say, the Lord's mercy endureth forever. Well, I can see maybe God loves them or something. Well, God's good. Why? Because his mercy endures forever. He still loves them. Clay, I can't believe that. I would have cut them off a long time ago. They've been at this thing for thousands of years and still have never done his commandments. They've never had a perfect Shabbat. I think they should be cut off. A lot of people think that. Adolf Hitler thought that. I'll rid the world of these Jewish people, because they have been cursed by their God, sent out of their land. They're all over Europe now, messing the rest of us up. Let's just kill them all off. And the Muslims have the same idea as Adolf Hitler. Same exact idea. The trouble with this world is the Jewish people. Let's just get rid of all the Jewish people. Hey, things will be a lot better. I mean, if you just get rid of the bad people, you'll have heaven on earth. And so Adolf Hitler was a savior. He's trying to save all of Europe. And most of Europe agreed with him. The European civilized people agreed with him. Get rid of all those bankers and rich guys and their tricks and ideas and stuff, and rid the world of that evil, and then the world will be a happy place. Well, didn't quite work out that way. When I went to Russia a few years ago, in the Ukraine, I visited the top archaeologist in the country, and I asked him some questions. I said, what do you think of the Jewish people? Oh, said, they're wicked people. Really? I thought they started this place. I've been to your graveyard here. I see that there's a lot of people called Jewish in the graveyard. I mean, miles of graveyards here in Kiev. I think this was not this whole country created by Jews who were doing business in this part of the world? Oh no, the man assured me. Those are not real Jews. Those people were Tartars. They were a mongrel type of race of people. No, we didn't have them. Nope, there's no archaeological evidence that that ever happened. Well, I was just there today walking in the graveyard, and I met some. I mean, it goes for miles. I believe these people are still here. No, they're not real Jews. This guy's intelligent. He's the top archaeologist. And I marveled as I sat there and I gave him evidence after evidence of correspondence way back in the 900s that passed between a letter that passed between Joseph and some others in Kiev all the way over to Spain. He said, "No, that's not even real. Those letters are not real." Here he is, a top scientist, and he denies that the Jewish people are God's people. No, those people never came here. We don't know anything about those people. And now the Ukraine is being taken over by Putin. He's taken over the, what do you call, the eastern part of the Ukraine, where there's a lot of Russians living there. In particular, he's after the Black Sea to get some warm water ports and hoping to expand Russia's outreach into a warm water port. Now, the Black Sea is cold, but it's a lot warmer than the Baltic. And it's a lot closer to the Gulf of Hormuz, a lot closer. Now, they would love to have a relationship with Iran and Russia so that Iran would let them have a warm water port to get out through. So the whole world today is still getting worked up over these things. It's a crazy world. So which religion is true? One makes sense. The other one doesn't make any sense at all. But to me, it totally makes sense because I am a sinner by background. My background is sin. I was actually conceived in sin. In sin did my mother conceive me. That was not just because I was born out of wedlock. That's just the way I was born. I was born in sin. And when I came out of the womb, I was thinking only of myself. Wasn't thinking of anybody but me. And then I lived the rest of my life lying, cheating, stealing. There was nothing I wouldn't do. I had no morals, no religion, no decency, no kindness, no warmth. And imagine Peggy married me. That was a great blessing to Peggy to marry me, a wicked sinner. She didn't even think I was really a liar. She had no idea. Even after she got married and caught me in a whole bunch of lies, she still thought, well, he must have a good part to him somewhere. And I didn't get any better. And after a while, it was harder and harder for her to love me with all her heart and all her soul and all her strength. And that didn't make me at all change. I didn't want to change. I liked lying, cheating, stealing. I did that all the way through school. I got all the way to the top. I got to the top of the top of the top through lying, cheating, and stealing. Conning people. A con artist. I think there are other people in the United States that have gotten pretty far up by the Chicago style lying, cheating, and stealing. So, give thanks to the Lord for his good, and his mercy endureth forever. That's a good one for me. That was a good religion for me, Barbara, because I was one of those sinners. Let the house of Israel, the Jewish people, they're no good either. They're pornographers. They love making money. I mean, they're bad people. But he says, let the house of Israel say, his mercy endureth forever. God has never forgotten his covenant to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. It's amazing. We have the weirdest God. We have the strangest God. I can't believe our God wants to forgive sinners. But I wouldn't be a pastor today. Thank God I'm a pastor now. And I'm telling the good news. Our God is good. Why? Because he's merciful. That's why. Loving kindness. Chesed. Oh, the loving kindness of God. And I'm a beneficiary of that. I'm God's beneficiary. Look at me, happy. I'm going to put a smiley face. I'm going to put a smiley face on this beneficiary here. Because this smiley face right here, that's me. Yahoo! I'm happy as can be. Because God loves me. As what? A sinner. I've been forgiven by the blood of Jesus. Number three. And when Jesus rose from the dead, number four, he's a powerful Lord. He's my trustee. He's constantly telling me, Jim, I love you. I want all the burden to fall on me. All the blessing fall on you. Amazing. What mercy for number five coming out of number three. Thank God number two never got me. Because I should have died. Did you know the wages of sin is death? Since I sinned, I should have gotten death. But I never did. And I never will. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Israel now say, his mercy endureth the ever. And then it says, let the house of Aaron, that's the priest, say that his mercy endureth forever. Well, that's good for priests, but a priest is not supposed to show mercy to a wicked person. But then, what good is a priest unless he can forgive a sinner? That's their job. Someone who breaks the law of Moses, number two, could still take a lamb and kill it, buy that lamb, bring it to the priest, kill it, and the priest could say, you're righteous. That you covered your sin. Well, praise the Lord. I covered my sin. I have made an atonement. He made an atonement based on my sacrifice. And I guess he sold me that lamb, so he made a little bargain on the deal there. But he gave me mercy for that. Wow. I finally did something good. I killed a lamb. By killing a lamb, I got the mercy. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. I killed Jesus Christ with all my sins. And number two, and then I got his mercy. Father, forgive Jim. He doesn't know what he's doing. Woohoo! Wow! That is awesome. So instead of number two killing me, it killed Jesus. Merciful is he. Merciful is he. Holy is he to condemn me, but then he lets the condemnation fall on him and I get the mercy. Well, praise the Lord for that. And then he jumps up and says, Jim is my beloved, I'm going to marry him. Ah! Woohoo! I love this gospel. I love this teaching. It is an awful teaching. It makes no sense to anybody, but it sure fits me good. Fits me. I think it fits Barbara too. Gosh, I'm so grateful for this God right here, and Georgina also fits her because she sinned too. And not only that, God forgave her and put the death on Jesus. Jesus died for Georgina. And Clay, you got the mercy. And Norman, you got the mercy. There's too many mercy people getting. Too many people are getting mercy. I think they should get what they are owed, what their due is. But then, I don't mind if you get what your due is, but I don't want to get mine. I want the mercy. I'm taking the mercy. I'm taking the mercy. I don't know if you guys are going to get it or not, but I'm taking that mercy thing where I get the mercy and I'm God's, called His beloved, His chosen, His precious, blood-bought Jim. Woo! I love this gospel. Now, this is Old Testament. This is Old Testament. This is Old Testament. This is not even the New Testament. This is the Old Testament. And I could just kill a goat or a bull or not a chicken, but kill something, a turtle dove. If I didn't have a lot of money, I could at least buy a turtle dove. And you know what? God would accept that. Wow! That's amazing how He would accept something as cheap as that to cover all my sin. It's amazing. And I was His enemy. He loved me while I was yet a sinner. Amazing. Let them, verse 4, that now fear the Lord say that His mercy endureth forever. That's me. I'm saying it. God, Your mercy endures forever. In other words, I could wait till the last minute. Sin, right up to the last hour, and then still take His mercy, and He'd let me in. Don't you think that's cheating? Would you let somebody that sin, right up to the door of His return, and then you let him in at the last second like that? When other people got in earlier and were good, nice, earlier. That's our God. He'll let you in even if you keep sinning. Let's say you get mad sometimes. Has anybody here ever gotten mad after you were a Christian? After you were a Christian. And you got mad at him. Or you got mad at life. Or you get mad at other people. Or you get mad at yourself. And He still lets you in. All you got to say is, sorry. Thank You, Jesus. You are good. And Your mercy endureth forever. I was bad. But all I have to say is God is good. And then He lets me in. Amazing. Now, I tell you, that's the basis of worship. That is a worshiping people. Amen? I know in Clay's case, that would be good news. That you could do it deliberately over and over again. I know Clay has done it. Three times? I think it's two or three times. Clay should go to hell, but he's going to go to heaven. Because he believes that God is good and His mercy endureth forever. That's amazing. Even Peggy, who everybody thinks is so wonderful, even Peggy, Georgina, don't be fooled by Peggy. She's not as good as she appeareth. Huh? She knows that? Oh my gosh. Georgina, even though I shouldn't love her, I'm so nice that I do. I'm just a very nice person. Now, to put up with sinful people, a person like me, I'll tell you that's a real virtue. That is a great virtue. No, I'm amazed at God that He just let anybody in. Did you know He's not a respecter of persons? He doesn't care who you are. I can forgive a Catholic or a Protestant or a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Muslim. I can forgive anybody. Because God has taught me His way. His way is this way right here. This way right here is God is good. He has a holy law and He is holy. But He's also merciful and He's also mighty and powerful. And He can change me into His likeness after He's forgiven me. Number four after number three, after I've sinned against Him. That is amazing. That is a God. I tell you, that's a God. That is a God that His loving kindness could actually not only tell me what to do, and then when I don't do it, He could forgive me, and then when He forgives me, He could actually change me into His likeness, and He could perfect me and then marry me. I think that is awesome. Our religion is way too good. It's letting the riffraff in. It's letting the riffraff in. If Barbara and I got in, anybody could get in. I tell you, that is so good. Georgina, I love this religion. This is a good one. And it's right here in the Bible. It's right here in the Bible. I called upon the Lord in distress. the Lord answered me, and he put me in a large place. Wow. Have you ever been in a tight place where it didn't look good? And you knew it was because of your own sins, not just other people, but partly due to your own foolish decisions. Has anybody ever been in one of those narrow places, you know, where you think, oh my God, all of this is because I've been bad, foolish, ignorant. I didn't worship like I should have. I was a hypocrite and a liar. You know what? God still will forgive you. That's amazing to me that he makes this path right here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He makes it so it works. And he'll take anybody. He'll take anybody. He won't reject anybody that's a sinner. He does not desire the death of any sinner. He takes no pleasure in the death of any sinner. Wow. I think some sinners deserve to die. Not me. But I mean some others that are worse than me. How many believe that people that are worse than you should get die? They should die. God, he's more kind than I am. His loving kindness, his mercy, his chesed is amazing. He'll even take people that are worse than me. And I am as bad as they get, except for Clay maybe. And maybe also Norman. Norman's bad. I don't know if you all know how bad Norman is. He's bad. He had so many chances to shape up, and he didn't do it. Good Catholic background, good Catholic. Clay, a good Baptist. And both of them, they have not behaved correctly. And yet God will let them in. Don't you see this is a wrong message? You should not send this message to earth because it's too good to be true. That God would actually accept sinners. Oh my gosh. It's amazing. I think that's why Mobutu liked me and Peggy. Because we loved him like he was. Did you know that he was a cannibal, Georgina? Did you know that at the bottom, he's dead now, so I'm talking about him. At the bottom of the Congo River, François Mitterrand, the president of France, and he stripped down, went to the bottom of the ocean, and ate flesh and made a covenant together. Are you aware of that? It was in the Paris match. It's public. I saw it. And it told about it. Isn't that amazing? It exposed those two guys as cannibals. And yet, I believe that because Peggy and I witnessed to him, I did, I believe he could be in heaven. I believe he and Mama Mobutu might be there to greet me. Jim, remember that day at the front of my ship estate on the Congo River? You told me you need to accept Jesus Christ. And he said, mais non, je suis chrétien. I said, mais non. Vous n'êtes pas chrétien. You don't have a personal relationship with the living God. You're afraid of dying. I knew he was. I knew he had a fear of dying. I was at his mother's funeral. I was at his mother's funeral when she died. I was there with him. I was his guest. Way back in the jungle. Way back, hidden away. Big palace back there. And I did a lot of things in there with him. He took me to Switzerland and went to Monaco in France. Peggy, were you with me? No. You did go to Monaco. Yeah. But I went to a lot of places with him. And he could have made me a very wealthy man, but I wouldn't take it. He offered it to me. Let me do this for you. Let me do it. No, I won't take it. I'm a Christian. He knew I was, and he tried to tell everybody around him, I'm a good Christian. And he stopped the boat one day and carried a whole bunch of orange drinks down to a little guy in a canoe, had the whole boat stop, carried it down, and he was very proud, and I was standing next to him. And he said, did you see what I just did? I stopped the whole ship of state just to give that guy in the canoe. And that guy was real happy down there in the canoe. Thank you, because he was Mobutu, the president. Mobutu Sese Seko. He was so proud that he was a good Christian after all. Good Catholics can do good works, and he did them right there. And I commended him. I said, this is wonderful. He was happy that I was happy with him, because he knew he did a lot of naughty things, and he knew that I knew. But he also knew that I loved him and Peggy, and he brought us into his breast like this, 6'4", whatever he was, big guy. He brought us right into his breast like that. That was powerful. He was saying, you're my family. We are family. We're family. Isn't that amazing? Peggy Robertson was on the boat too, and Dee Dee, his wife, 700 Club. We were there. They were there. They didn't witness to Jesus, to Mobutu about accepting Jesus. But I did. But what happened? Nothing. He said, I am a Christian. Je suis chrétien. I'm a Christian. I've always been a Christian. But he didn't tell me about eating flesh with Mitterrand. He didn't tell me about all the Order of the Leopard stuff that he did. But I read books, and I read about it. And there's a French book written about me, how they want to kill me. They were trying to kill me because they knew somehow I was sneaking in on the president. I wasn't even smart enough to know how to sneak in. How many know that God can use idiots to accomplish his purposes? You never know what you can do when you love Jesus. I called upon the Lord in my distress, and the Lord answered me, and he sent me in a large place. The Lord's on my side. I will not fear. Wow. Clay, when you have God on your side, you're never afraid. There's no terror can come near your door. Because the Lord's on your side, especially if you're a sinner. Especially if you know his mercy endures forever. Never stops. Never ceases. If it says the Lord's on my side, if God's on my side, who can be against me? If God be for you, number one, me, number five, if God be for you, who can be against you? His law can't be against me. His mercy is for me, and his power is given to me too. Everything's working for me. I love it. Jesus has made God sweet to me. You know that every day his love gets sweeter and sweeter than the day before? The longer I live, the sweeter he becomes. He was sweet the day I met him. He's still sweet, but he's just precious to me. I just love him because I was a sinner without hope. I had no friend in the world. He's the first one. I said, Jim, I know the other gods won't like you, but I'm kind of prejudiced in your favor. I like you a lot. You like me? I'm a sinner. I deliberately sin. What can man do to me? Verse 7. The Lord takes my part with all them that help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire upon them that hate me. Wow. So anybody that hates me, Clay, they don't know that God is for me and that they're going against God because I'm his beloved. I feel safe and secure now. I feel very good in this world. Even though I know people are against me, even though they hate me and despise me and are jealous of me, I know what? God likes me. You're not going to be able to kill me because God's on my side. You can't do me harm because God's on my side. Whatever you do, it'll turn against you, and it'll bless me. Did you know that everything in my life is going my way? If God be for me, who can be against me? Clay, who can be against you if God's for you? If God wants you to prevail, can anyone stop you? If God really, really, deep down in his heart, he's on your side, who can get at you? Yeah, I'm right there in the hand. I'm right there in the palm of his hand. He said, Jim, I got you. I got you right there in the palm of my hand. Now let the devil try to get you. Ah, can't get him. Ah. Whoop. No one can get me. I'm safe. I should be dead. I should be in jail. I should be sick. I should be punished. I'm right there in God's hand. Why? I believed in him. I believed that God was good, Clay, number one. That's the first thing. Number two, I believed his holiness was for Jesus to fulfill. Huh. That's a good idea right there. Number two, I believe Jesus died for my sin. That's number three. Number four, I believe he rose again for my justification and sanctification and glorification. Woohoo! Right there, in the palm of his hand. Did you know that you can fit in the palm of his hand? The whole world could fit right there in the palm of his hand. Anybody can come. Just get right there. You could jump out, but he won't throw you out. He won't dump you out. He's going to keep you right there. Once he loves you, he can't change his mind. Well, I like that. God, are you mad at me? I just sinned again. Nope. I already had Jesus die for that sin. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Why? Because his mercy endureth forever. Wow. That's amazing. This is the middle verse of the Bible. Verse 8. Psalm 118, verse 8. The mathematical middle of the Bible. If you would cut your Bible in two, mathematically it falls right here. It is better to trust in the Lord, that's what that is up on the board, than to put your confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord. Have you ever trusted in man? You're going to be let down. If you've ever trusted in man, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be disappointed. I know when Peggy married me, she thought I was going to be a good husband. And I let her down grievously. I let her down grievously because I had no intention of putting her first and me second. I had one intention. I'll abuse this woman to the hilt. I'm going to just use her and abuse her. And she's a good Christian, so she'll let me do it. And I'm not going to take care of her at all. Going to do my own thing. And she'll stick in there because she feels it's good to suffer. I love that kind of wife. What a wonderful wife I have. She loved me when I was no good. She even knew I was doing wrong, but she would say to herself, well, he might be good. He might still be good. I better not judge him or I'll go to hell. So she couldn't judge me, Norman. No matter what, even did she see what I was doing. Don't you think I was a good picker? I picked a very good wife. I picked a wife that would forgive me no matter what. Well, now, of course, I've told her the truth. So now she's not so sure she made a good decision there, that I deceived her and tricked her. Let me know that other men have deceived and tricked their wives. The Bible says right here, don't put your trust in a man. Does it not say that? Why do women marry men? That always has amazed me. Because a man will let you down every time. Did y'all hear what I said? You think I'm exaggerating. There's never been a man on earth that's been faithful. They're always just going to let you down. But you can love them anyway, even though they're no good. Did you know that you can love no good people? Huh. So now our marriage is working good because she knows I'm no good. And she knows that God is good. And that God, who's good, gave me to her, who's no good, for her good. It works out great. Y'all see that? You see the good news there? I think it's awesome. It's incredible. It's incredible. And then the next verse, because this was the dividing verse, right? there. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in princes. So never trust Mobutu. Never trust Obama. Never trust Abraham Lincoln, George Washington. Don't trust anybody. Don't put your trust in princes. Pastor Jim, don't put your trust in him. Put your trust in the Lord. So here's our trust in the Lord, and God is good. Nobody else is. And he has a holy law, which I didn't keep, but he kept it for me. Then he kept it in me. Then he kept it through me, and that I'm in good shape. I love this gospel, Clay. This is really good news for me. And I hope it's good news for you. Because I don't believe you can find a better religion than this one. It absolutely is the best religion for sinners. Now, if you're righteous, you don't get any of this. This is only for wicked people. You have to be wicked to qualify. Think not that I came for sinners. No. He said, think not that I came for righteous people. I did not. I only came for sinners who repent. Me. Barbara, you too. Me and Barbara. A sinner who repents, that pleases God. I didn't even do anything different. I just repented and just confessed that, yeah, I did wrong. Yeah, I was no good. God always knew I was no good, and I always knew I was no good. I never thought I was good. I never, ever, ever thought I was good. When I lied, I did it deliberately, consciously, and knowingly. When I cheated people, I deliberately planned it out. I agreed to it. When I conned people into buying something they didn't need, I rejoiced and laughed all the way to the bank. I was a scoundrel. And I was having a good time. I did everything wrong, and I enjoyed it. I didn't just sin. I enjoyed my sin. I absolutely wanted to do it, did it, and just thought it was wonderful, and I could hardly wait to do it again. Do y'all hear me? Now, I say this. You're exactly like me. Everybody's exactly like me. Isn't that awful? That's awful. It's awful that I'd willingly admit it outwardly. But I believe God wants us to admit it. That, Lord, whenever I sin, I do it deliberately, consciously. I don't just accidentally sin. When I put somebody down, I meant to. I didn't mean to do it. I wouldn't. I never lied like that. I might lie to you, but I'd never lie to God. He can see right through me. He knows that I was only thinking of myself. I knew what the Bible said. I didn't do what it said. I knew, but I didn't do. Just because you know something doesn't mean you'll do it. I knew it was wrong. You think I just deliberately do wrong? Yeah. I always did. I never thought it snuck up on me and the devil made me do it. I always knew I did it. I never blamed the devil. Well, the devil influenced me. I never said that. I knew that was a lie. I didn't need any devil to make me sin. When I sinned, I did it myself. I knew I did. All nations, verse 10, compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. So all the peoples of the world could get around me and say, he's guilty. But you know what? I say this. They're wrong. I'm beloved of God. He has forgiven me. I'm a saint. I was once a sinner, once was blind, but now I see. And from now on, I'm going with the blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost. Woo! I hope you all see what I'm saying. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. All those that accuse me. And nope, I don't take it. Jesus loves me, that I know, for the Bible tells me so. 12. They compassed me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me in order that I might fall. But the Lord helped me. So when you try to knock me down, it won't work. First of all, I know more about my wickedness than you do. And I know whatever you're accusing me of, it's 10 times worse than that. I know that. I'm just amazed that you're mad at me for that little thing. Man, you don't know the half of it. You don't even know how wicked I am and how cold I am, how ruthless I am apart from him. I can be mean as a snake. I'm bitter, mean. I can become vicious. Anybody else like me? Norman? Clay? Also? Praise God. Well, praise God I got the men. It's always good. What's amazing to me is not how wicked I can be, it's how good God would be to somebody who's as wicked as me. That's amazing to me. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he's good, for his mercy endureth forever. I can't believe there'd be a God like that. Just the kind of God I'd have to have. I'd never go to heaven without God and his mercy. The Lord is my strength, verse 14, and my song, and he has become my salvation. Woo! You know that's his greatest glory, is to forgive a sinner like me and have me praise him because he's my strength and my song and he's my salvation. He loves that. And I do it. I actually do worship him because he has forgiven me all my sins. I don't even know half of them myself. You don't even know half of my sins. I know some. But and then there's others I don't even know about myself. And he just wrote them all off. He says, I like Jim. 15. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. Wow. So the righteous are not the ones that didn't sin. They're the sinners that repented. That's why there's rejoicing and salvation in their tents. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. Verse 16. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. You notice how he likes to repeat stuff. Now look, this next verse actually happened to me October 24, 2011. I fell off the roof of my house onto my head and should have died. So I like this verse. I shall not die, but live. And I wrote this down in my Bible. That's my verse right there. And I knew when I fell down, later they told me about it, that I'm not going to die. I shall live and not die. I claimed that verse. I wrote that down. It's written right here in my Bible. October 24, I wrote it down on November 15. So a couple weeks later, I wrote that down. That's me right there. That's my verse. I shall not die, but I shall live. Should have died, could have died. Don't know why I didn't. I think it's Peggy. Peggy saw me fly off the roof onto my head, saw the blood. She didn't know that my lung was collapsed. She didn't know my eye was swollen. She didn't know that my ribs were broken. She didn't know that my vertebrae were crushed. She didn't know about all the hurts and all 24 different spots on my body were damaged. My fingernails were black. My toes were black. Everything. It was horrible. All the parts of my body, I should have been crushed. I should have been brain damaged. I should have been dead. But I shall not die, but I shall live. Here's what I'm going to do if I live. And declare the works of the Lord. Woohoo! That's me. This, for me, it's supernatural. I believe when Peggy prayed that prayer, Jesus, Jesus, I can't live without him. I started to stir.
I started to move right there. I should be dead. I'm bleeding all over. My skull was crushed. Everything was gone. But instead, I started to move. And I said to everybody, leave me alone. I'm fine. Which wasn't true. I couldn't get up, but I wanted to get up. No, I'm fine. I'm fine. I just fell off the roof. That's all. I didn't know how bad I was. In a little while, they took me away, and I don't remember any of this. I have no memory of it. But I do remember arguing with the people that were holding me down. Let me go. I got to get up and walk around. I got work to do. Because I'm a Christian, and Jesus told me I'm supposed to finish certain things, and that's I'm not dying. I remember I had that strong. That was strong with me. So I had no fear. I never felt the blow. Just, I don't know, it had to be just a minute or half a minute when Peggy saw me fly off onto the thing, walk over and say, oh, Jesus, Jesus, I can't live without him. And I began to move. But I'll tell you this, I never felt the pain. I never felt anything. Ever. At any time, I never felt it.
The Lord, here's what was happening, has chastened me sore. But he has not given me over unto death. Isn't that funny? I should have died. I was 71 years old. 71-year-olds can fall off a stair and die. And here I fell 10 feet from the garage onto the cement. And I lived and had no pain. I didn't feel anything. And I was ready to finish the work of the Lord. And I didn't stay in that hospital very long, and I refused all medicine. I didn't want any medicine. And I pulled out those things they put in you, and catheter and tubes, and I don't want any of that. How do you get out of here? Well, you have to be able to walk up and down the hall. Well, I'll be doing that. So take all this junk out of me, and I'll be walking down the hall tomorrow, and then I'm going home. I don't want to be in the hospital. Doesn't this cost money? I hate to waste money on hospital. And it costs, I don't know, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Just you just stay in the hospital one day or 2 days, it's already up to $20,000, $30,000 or something. It's ridiculous. And all they're giving you is a regular pill you could buy in the drugstore, but it costs $500 for that little pill or something. I don't want that pill. And I told them in the middle of the night when they woke me up to give me my Vicodin, I said, I don't want any Vicodin. I never take medicine. Get that away from me. You can put it in my mouth. I'll just spit it out when you're not looking. I'm not taking it. I don't like medicine. I like Jesus Christ. And they said, sir, the doctors have ordered this. Well, tell them I refuse it. Put that down on your report. Patient refuses it. Sir, you'll be in excruciating pain. Good. Put that down. He wants excruciating pain. That's on my report. They said, we never heard anybody like this. But they did what I said. And the doctors later told me, you did the right thing. They said, but nobody's ever asked for that before. You wanted pain. So that, you know, in case I was hurt, I wouldn't move wrong or something. That pain lets you know, hey, don't move. So I didn't take any medicine. That's it. End. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I'll go into them, and I'll praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. Do you know what? That's the gate I went into, the gate of the righteous. I walked right into the city of the living God. I love that, Barbara. That's so precious. I'm righteous. Of course I can die, but I'm not going to. I'm standing on this verse right here. I'm standing on this verse. I shall live and not die. I love that. I had some others too. That wasn't the only one. There's Psalm 116 is a good one, and Psalm 103 is a good one. I had a lot of good scriptures for myself. I will praise thee, verse 21, for you have heard me and are become my salvation. Now watch this one. This is about Jesus. 22. The stone which the builders have rejected is now become the head corner, the headstone of the corner. So Jesus is my cornerstone. He's the head of the corner. I'm built on him. How can I die? I can't die. Because Jesus died for me. I will live and not die. That's amazing. That's amazing. Do you see that true religion is the foundation of just government, of economic prosperity, of social amity, of everything good in this world? It all comes from true religion. It all comes from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the cornerstone of this world. I'm building my life on the cornerstone of Jesus. And I knew that he had called me into the ministry, though I was a scoundrel and completely unworthy. I knew that he had called me to witness to him and perish. I didn't care if I died. I just didn't want to die till I was finished. I plan on dying. I'm going to die. But I'm not going to die until I'm done. Right, Barbara? We're going to live until we're dead. And when we're dead, then it's over. Georgina, you don't have to worry. You will live until you die. I swear, that's the truth. As surely as you have legs that reach the ground, so surely you will live until you die. So you might as well live to the hilt. You might as well enjoy your life, because you're going to live until your day to die. When you die, you just go to heaven. You just fall asleep and wake up in the presence of Jesus. David Halverson apparently has a little different theology. He thinks you wander around up there or something, look over the balcony and all that stuff. I think David's theology is wrong, but people like his theology better than mine. Mine is you just fall asleep. And you're not dead, you're sleeping. And then you wake up in the presence of Jesus when he comes back. I like mine better. But he likes his where they walk around and talk to you. And I don't know what, I've never heard him preach it, but somebody told me this morning that's what he believes. So I said, I don't believe that idea. I like my idea better, because the Bible says, don't worry, she's not dead. She's just fallen asleep. And then it says, when you wake up, you see Jesus. I like that. How can that be bad? This is the Lord's doing, that the stone that the builders rejected, the Jews killed Jesus, has now become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. So the day Jesus died was the day that the Lord made. That's the day he's talking about. That day, right there. When Jesus died, that was the greatest day on earth. Because that was the day I died. And then, 3 days later, he jumps up. And that was the day I jumped up. And so on and so on. I love that. So I died with him, and I rose with him. And now I'm going to reign with him forever. This is the day, verse 24, which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord, verse 25. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. So I'm prospering. Amen? I'm prospering. I don't even know how to prosper. I mean, I don't even know how to. I'm just doing what Jesus says, but somehow I'm prospering. But I shouldn't be prospering. I don't even make a big salary or anything. How can I prosper? Well, he's not just talking about material. He's talking about spiritual and mental and emotional and physical and everything. Woohoo! I'm prospering. I don't know about the rest of you. I'm already going to heaven. I'm already there. I'm seated now with Christ in heavenly. I know I don't see it. I don't care to see it. I don't care that I don't see it. I believe it by faith. I believe I'm already in heaven. I'm in heaven. Oh, I love heaven. I love heaven. That's where I am. Blessed, listen to this verse. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Georgina, this is the verse I was telling you about this morning that David was saying this morning when he said in Hebrew, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. David Antoine was singing that. He was singing that this morning, and Georgina said, what kind of language is that? And this is, here it comes from, this verse right here. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai.
In other words, Jesus is our trustee, number four. The guy that comes in his own name isn't a trustee. But if he comes in the Father's name, he's a trustee. I'm talking to you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Why? Because I don't come in my own name. I don't have anything to say in my own name. I've already said some silly stuff about me. But I have nothing but great stuff to say about Jesus and the Father.
So this is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit up here doing all this.
All of it. We have blessed you, verse 26, out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord which has showed us the light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even to the horns of the altar. That's where Jesus died on the cross for me. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Last verse, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. That is a perfect psalm. That's a perfect psalm. That's a perfect psalm. It started out with the same verse that it ended up with. It's like a bookends with a bunch of books in the middle. It's a beautiful psalm. This psalm is wonderful. It's too perfect. What does it say? Oh, give thanks to the Lord. It's a worship. It's all about worship. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why? Did you know that when you worship, he dwells in the praises of his people? When you worship, all of a sudden you're set free from disease. You're set free from worry. You're set free from fear. You're set free from everything negative. Only good things can happen to you. When you're a worshiper of God, you're dead to this world. You're alive to God in Christ Jesus. You're out of yourself. You're your new self, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Why? Because his mercy endureth forever. You were once a sinner, but no longer. Now you're a saint. Clay, I want you to say these words. I am a saint. Peggy? I am a saint. Norman?
I am a saint.
Barbara?
I'm a saint.
Georgina?
I'm a saint.
David?
I'm a saint.
Yahoo! We're all saints. How did we get there? Mercy of God. That's the goodness of God. Didn't you know that that's what causes us to repent? The goodness of God. I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. What is it? That he's merciful to sinners. I love this message. Georgina, I think some of the ladies over there, they need to hear this message over that place over there. They need to hear this message that everything is going our way. That the best has been saved to the last. That God has reserved the best special dessert. Just when you're all full and your tummy's full, there's something more. There's something more. It's good. We had lunch today at Outback or something like that. And it was very good. When they came around, they said, would you like some dessert? No, we're all full. But we stayed for another hour or so and had such a delicious time in the Lord. It was better than any dessert. It was unbelievably uplifting and upbuilding, and miracle took place right there. Healing in a family just took place right there. It's powerful. It was precious. Well, we're on this earth to give blessing to everybody, because
The Lord is merciful. God is good because he's merciful to sinners that repent. All right. Hope you're blessed tonight. Norman, closing prayer.